This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Something may be lurking.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The economic numbers out this morning look pretty good at face value. The government says GDP grew at a rate of almost 2% last quarter. That was better than the first quarter, so by the numbers, the economy's not shrinking. But it's a little suspicious, given all the other things going on. Marketplace's Janet Babin has more from North Carolina Public Radio.
Government stimulus checks gave the U.S. economy a bit of a boost in the second quarter. Or maybe it was those income tax refunds. Peter Morisi's an economist and business professor at the University of Maryland.
They made a big difference in May. Retail sales really jumped that month. A good deal of the money was saved, however, and spending didn't continue into June and July.
Morisi says any growth from the stimulus checks is unsustainable and won't be enough to turn the economy around long term. Instead, Morisi says we need to tame the credit crunch and become more energy independent.
Our huge consumption of gasoline, the payments for that go abroad, and the broken banks in New York, which have created a shortage of credit.
That'll continue to shrink the job market. We also learned this morning the number of workers filing claims for unemployment insurance soared to the highest level in more than 5 years. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Wall Street was expecting better GDP numbers, so that's not going to help the chances of a three-day rally. Will oil stocks save the day? Well, it's kind of funny. ExxonMobil reported the biggest profit ever by a U.S. corporation, $11.6 billion last quarter. But Wall Street was expecting the sun and the moon, so Exxon shares are down 3%. The Dow has lost 78 points in the early going to 11,504. The S&P 500 is down 4 points. The Nasdaq is flat so far. In Asia, the markets finished a fraction higher today, but European shares have turned down on the GDP report. United Airlines says it's canceled more than 300 flights the past 2 weeks because pilots called in sick. But the airline doesn't think there's a rash of flu. It filed a lawsuit asking a judge to stop the union from abusing sick time as a form of protest. The pilots are upset about United's plan to lay off 1,000 pilots. Meanwhile, there's a bill in California that would give every worker in the state some sick time. Right now, 40% of California employees have no sick days whatsoever. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Health groups say that mandating paid sick leave would mean better health for all Californians. Jonathan Heller runs Human Impact Partners. He says employees without paid sick leave include many restaurant workers and nursing home staff, people with ample opportunity to infect others.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, documented that a restaurant worker in Michigan who did not have paid sick days infected 500 people with stomach flu in 2006 when he went to work sick.
Heller says the U.S. could lower healthcare costs if it focused more on preventing illnesses from getting worse, and sick leave is a key part of that. Marty Fisher is with the California Chamber of Commerce. She says it's not always easy for employers to do the right thing.
There's only a certain amount of money in the business, and employers have to make difficult choices, and this isn't always an option.
She says if the bill became law, employers might have to cut back on workers' hours or pay. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Thursday, July 31st on Marketplace.org. I mentioned ExxonMobil's enormous profits, but I forgot to include Royal Dutch Shell. That company also made $11.6 billion last quarter, its best profit ever. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, looks into those numbers.
Shell says that high oil and natural gas prices helped it during a difficult period. Attacks on pipelines and other facilities in Nigeria cost the company 160,000 barrels a day. Shell also lost out in Russia. Last year, it was pressured into giving up control of a major energy project there. But Shell is well placed to develop other sources of oil. For example, it's already invested heavily in Canadian tar sands. Jason Kennedy is with the Dutch bank ING.
It does take a higher oil price to give you the good margins from these kind of assets. But, you know, even today's oil price, significantly above what Shell needs on a cash break even. So still good profits at the moment.
He says that by investing early in the tar sands, Shell is well ahead of the game. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Today, Congress is likely to pass a major bill concerning higher education. It deals with everything from student loan programs to university accreditation to campus security. Mitchell Hartman has more.
The new Higher Education Act has something for everyone. It expands Pell Grants for poor students year-round and adds new scholarships for military families. It makes textbook pricing more transparent, and it increases funding for schools with lots of Black and Hispanic students. Plus, it boosts oversight of student loan programs. Elizabeth Bickford heads up financial aid at the University of Oregon.
There will be real effort in simplifying the financial aid application process. And I think that will make a big difference for our low-income and our middle-income families.
The new law will also make colleges file reports about their expenses and tuition increases. Lobbyists gripe that it'll cost colleges more. They say requirements on everything from fire safety and disabled access to illegal media downloading will keep those tuition bills heading higher. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
For 63 quarters in a row, Starbucks made a profit. That's every quarter since it went public in 1992. Starbucks said it lost money last quarter. Costs are up and fewer people are buying grande lattes. The company is closing hundreds of stores as a result. Commentator Rob Walker says Starbucks' woes have done something very interesting to its brand appeal. Rob Walker writes the Consumed column for the New York Times Magazine. His latest book is Buying In.
Some say Americans just won't get together and organize to support a community cause. It isn't so. Folks are banding together in big cities and small towns to make a difference. No, they aren't beautifying a park or commissioning public artworks. They're trying to convince a multinational corporation not to close up one of its thousands of locations. They're fighting to save our Starbucks. Reports about this grassroots movement started popping up when the company revealed which of the 600 Starbucks outlets, out of more than 11,000 in the United States, it intends to shutter. From Newark to Seattle, from Kingsley, Texas to Blaine, Minnesota, people are writing letters, starting petitions in the streets, and at, yes, saveourstarbucks.com, they're also throwing around words like heartbroken and devastated. Some call Starbucks a place to meet and talk, but others make a different point. It's not just our inalienable right to $4 lattes, it's that Starbucks is an important symbol of economic progress, even a form of validation for a neighborhood. To close one would apparently scare off development and wound the polis. As one commentator bluntly put it, it's a status thing. What a remarkable turnabout this is for the Starbucks brand, which has been troubled for a while now, if the stock price is any guide. And wasn't it just yesterday that The Onion ran a satirical item about a Starbucks opening inside another Starbucks and that vandalist activists considered it a symbol of global capitalism run amok? Well, now apparently it's evolved into a symbol of community pride and economic vitality. Maybe this says something promising about Starbucks' future, but I wonder what it says about the future of American community. Can you imagine a similarly widespread Save Our Library campaign, for instance? Or have we reached the point that the most important symbols of community strength are, in fact, publicly traded megacorporations? I guess we'll have to let the market sort that one out.
Texas oil man T. Boone Pickens is on a mission. Yesterday, he said he was creating an army of people to lobby for his energy plan. That plan is to move toward wind power and natural gas and away from imported oil. Commentator Will Wilkinson has been studying the plan, and so far he isn't impressed.
Maybe you've seen T. Boone Pickens' commercial by now.
Did you know, back in 1970, we imported 24% of our oil, and by 1990, it was 42%.
The corporate takeover artist and hedge fund chairman is in the process of building the world's largest wind farm. He's also the nation's largest supplier of transportation-related natural gas. Imagine Pickens' surprise when he discovered that our environmental and economic salvation is to use subsidized wind power to replace the natural gas we use to generate electricity, and then to use that freed-up natural gas to power our cars. We could use new wind power to replace dirty coal instead, but that's not the plan. All commercials are trying to sell us something, but Pickens' ad isn't aimed at us, the consumers, but as voters, sadly underinformed and easily stirred by appeals to emotion. The Pickens plan is not about offering you, the consumer, a choice. If wind power were more efficient than the alternatives, we'd already be using more of it. If natural gas cars were attractive to consumers, we'd already be driving more of them. The Pickens plan is about getting the government to use its powers to tax, regulate, and subsidize, and pick winners in the energy sector. When Pickens says,
over $700 billion are leaving this country to foreign nations every year,
and adds up to,
it'll be the largest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind.
He's leaning hard on our worst nationalist impulses and attacking the very idea of peaceful, mutually beneficial trade. Listening to Pickens, you'd never know we got something for all that money. What he's really saying is, why buy the things you need from dangerous foreigners when you could be paying more to buy them from rock-ribbed Americans, like T. Boone Pickens? In the end, the Pickens plan is that the government use its power to make Pickens the winner. Don't help him. The last time Pickens spent millions on political ads, the Swift Boat veterans offered us, the voters, their version of the truth. How do you like how that turned out?
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. For 63 quarters in a row, Starbucks made a profit. That's every quarter since it went public in 1992. Starbucks said it lost money last quarter. Costs are up and fewer people are buying coffees. But Starbucks shares are up this morning. Investors seem to like the future plans, close some stores instead of opening one every day. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.